Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. We have Mateen filling in for Kasim today. And our guest today is David. So David, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us what you do for a living and where you live.
My name is David Thompson. I own DFT Cattle Company, and I live in Richmond, Texas. And I'm also a computer programmer of 42 years. So I do that as well.
So how do you manage your time doing computer programming and running a DFT cattle company?
Extremely long days. My days start very early and go very, very late, at least during the spring and summer when we have, you know, extended daylight saving hours. But yeah, I finish up about 3:30 or 4 from my day job and then change into my work clothes and head out to the farm and spend the next 3 to 4 to 5 hours doing what needs to be done out there.
Awesome. So what made you, you know, start this farm? Like, where'd you get this idea?
Well, a little history. My great, great, great grandfather immigrated from Germany to a little town about 40 miles southeast of Richmond, Texas in 1844 and bought 464 acres on the Dickinson Bayou there and started raising cattle. And his sons raised cattle and his sons raised cattle. And my grandfather was part of that and helped his brothers, you know, with the ranch. And then my father, when he married my mother, he got access to 100 acres of the original ranch, and he raised cattle, and I started from basically birth. I mean, I've got a picture of myself on the back of a sorrel mare with my father at 1 year of age and started driving a Ford 8N tractor at probably 6 years of age, mowing pastures and helping my dad with cows and baling hay and everything. And I've been doing it off and on my entire life based on, you know, computer programming and where I had to live at the time. So sometimes I couldn't do it, other times I could. But now that I'm back in Texas, I decided that I'm getting kind of close to retirement. And I wanted something that would give me some additional income in retirement, help, you know, support my Social Security and 401k and give me something to do. I've run into way too many people that get older and retire and they basically have no plan for retirement, right? Because they've worked their entire lives. I mean, I started working when I was, well, I guess if call it six on the farm, but, actual work since I was 14 and a half. So 14 and a half, I'm 60. I just turned 61 July 27th. So that many years I've been in the workplace. And so, yeah, I mean, people retire and then they really don't have a plan of, you know, what to do in retirement, something that they enjoy. I love my farm. I love my cows, my chickens, and my calves, and I enjoy working it. It's hard work, but it's satisfying work.
That's really cool. So since you're a computer programmer, how does technology impact your business?
Well, right now, it's in fact, I've started this farm about, well, January 1st is when I took over a new lease on my farm. And I'm in the process of setting up to start selling bulk beef. So raising my own calves, feeding them out, and then selling shares to the public, having it butchered and delivered, and letting people eat my locally grown fresh beef. And so, you know, technology, I mean, websites, emails, e-commerce sites, automations, pop-ups, forms. I mean, I've been a mainframe programmer my entire life. So I worked in banking, and I worked for Cisco Foods for many years, and McLean Grocery Distributors, basically large scale, you know, programming. And so it's kind of challenging getting into the web side of it, social, you know, social marketing, all the social sites, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. I mean, you name it, you have to be a part of all of that if you want to, you know, sell your product and make the most money on it. I mean, you know, you could do it the old fashioned way, which is, you know, raise your cattle, get your calves to about 400 to 500 pounds and load them up in a trailer and run them down to the sale barn. You get what you get. And if the price is bad, you get a bad price. And that's just, you know, just the way things go. And so I'm actually more interested in doing the farm to table. You know, I've had a lot of people interested in my product. I haven't actually started selling yet. I'm hoping to do that this fall. It's a way of, you know, increasing the value of your product that you're putting your hard-earned time in, and you determine the price and the value of what your product's worth. Ultimately, the customer decides whether they want to pay that, but, you know, there's always somebody that's willing to pay, you know, the right price, what will make me not rich, but, you know, recoup my investment and make me a little profit, and they get a good product, you know, in return. So it's a win-win for both sides.
So currently, are you using artificial intelligence, or you are looking to use artificial intelligence in your current business?
I've dabbled with a little bit of ChatGPT as far as writing marketing emails and things like that, helping me with some content for my website. This is really this type of business is really hands-on. You know, cows don't work very well with artificial intelligence. And my chickens, I don't think they'd like it either.
That makes sense. So what makes you better than your competition?
Well, my competition is basically Kroger, Randall's, Safeway, the big box stores, Sam's and Costco. And what makes my product better is I talked to a potential customer this afternoon, and he asked me the same question. And I basically told him, you can come see where your beef came from. I'll show you a picture of your steer before it gets butchered, if you want a picture of it. I know what I put into it, and I know the freshness of the meat that I deliver. So you don't know that when you go to the box store. You don't know that when you go to the grocery store. You could buy ground beef. It could be a 15-year-old cow or a 20-year-old bull. They're going to, you know, they're going to take it all and process it as best they can to make a buck. And you don't know whether you're buying beef from here in Texas, or whether you're buying beef from Brazil or Argentina or Australia. I mean, they ship it over, and we import tons and tons and tons of beef. So, you know, you don't even know when your steer was butchered, right? So, but you do with me. You know, I give you a date when it's going to the butcher. And we're going to dry age it 10 to 14 days. And then I'm going to give you a call and set up a time where I can come and deliver your beef personally to you. So, I mean, it's a full in circle full life circle, and my customer knows exactly where his beef came from.
So you mentioned home delivery. So is that your plan to mostly focus on people in the local area, or what does that look like in terms of scalability and selling your beef?
I live 45 minutes from downtown Houston. So if you look, Houston is the fifth largest metroplex in the United States of America. So I have an ultimate audience of 6 million people to sell to, all with which I can deliver within an hour. So everybody's within an hour of me, 6 million people. So my goal starting out is, yes, I'd like to supply locally to within 10 or 15 miles of my farm. I think there are probably close to 1 million people in that area. And then if it works, I can always scale up,
That's awesome. So you mentioned using social media to reach people. So what so far has been the most successful in terms of reaching potential customers in terms of, social media, email, other types of marketing?
I'd have to say I probably get more hits on Facebook than I do anything else right now. I've been doing reels on Facebook almost since I started the farm, just kind of taking people through the journey of what I do on a daily basis, whether I'm feeding cows or mowing pasture or gathering eggs or if you go to my Facebook page and look up DFT Cattle Company and Pastured Poultry, you'll see a couple of reels where I had some rat snakes that got in my chicken coop, and I had to deal with a 6-foot sneaky snake. So, yeah, I get people that, like to, and some people just like to watch the cows, my babies, my little baby calves and the mama cows. And so that's probably where I've gotten most of it. And I had a pretty good following of, Facebook friends to start with. So when I started this past spring, I raised 100 meat birds, chickens. Basically, we sold almost all of our meat birds just through Facebook. A lot of it's, you'd be surprised, a lot of it's word of mouth. I've got 60 laying hens, so we get about 4 dozen eggs a day. People just, that eat them, and they tell their friends, hey, David's got some of the best eggs you'll ever eat. And then, next thing you know, they're getting a hold of me, and can I get a dozen each week, or can I get 2 dozen? And so a lot of that, again, I'm just really getting into the Facebook marketing, and, whether I'm going to, do ads. Facebook is a huge platform, and, there are many, many groups that you can join. So it's finding the right group, that's aligned to your, what you're trying to sell, which is the hardest part, trying to, figure out who your audience is and how to get in front of them the best.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what's the biggest challenge you faced when you started the business?
Getting my land. So that's for anybody that's going to do this. I know you mentioned this would be good for young people that wanted to, get into this business. It's a great business. It'll give you heartaches and tears and laughs and joy. I mean, you'll go through the whole gambit, but getting the land, because anytime you're farming or raising cattle or chickens or whatever you're doing, you have to have land. And as you know, land is extremely expensive now. So it almost, unless it's a, it's really a barrier to entry. The best way I did it was I used it's actually a hunting app. It's called OnX Hunt, And it's an app you put on your phone, and you can look around, and it will show you basically all the property in your area or whatever area you're looking in. And you can drill down to a particular piece of property, and so it'll show you some of the topography of that piece of property. And then you can click on it, and it will give you who owns that property, right? Who the tax person is for that individual piece of property. And with that, you just basically go out and Google that, and you get a name and an address and a telephone number, and you call people up and you say, "Hey, I see you've got 100 acres. Are you leasing it now? I mean, what are your plans for this property? Do you have anybody that's taking care of it for you?" And basically, I found a piece of property that's about 10 minutes from my house, 97 acres. It had a nice barn on it, had two water wells, and the person that was leasing it before me just didn't do anything with it. He just let it go, just let it deteriorate. And so I called up the owner and said, "Hey, one, I'll pay you more than this guy's paying you for it. And two, I'll try and put it back into shape. I'll improve the property." And so I was able to get into my individual piece of property for $1,500 a month, $1,500 a year. So I have access to 97 acres, I mean, right off the bat for $1,500 a year. So now I can use my other funds for animals, fencing if I need it. I needed a lot of fencing repairs, equipment. If you're not doing this, you're going to need a tractor, and you're going to need a trailer, and you're going to need if you don't have a pickup truck, you're going to need a pickup truck. I already had my pickup truck, but so I had to go buy a tractor and a trailer, and the Tractor Supply really loves me. I can just say
Awesome.
that.
What do you love most about doing this business?
I guess being out working with my hands, working with my animals. I mean, I love my animals. My cows are, my wife would probably tell you I have a bigger crush on my cows than I do on her. But no, I just, it's something that there's nothing like working the land. There's nothing like going out there and seeing a brand new baby calf that's, just basically getting up on his feet and learning to walk and, playing. And then, you see some of the strangest things with chickens and baby calves running around and playing with each other. And, it's kind of almost, in one of my reels, I said, "Here are the cows." And then I looked over here in the pasture, and you've got all these baby calves. So it's almost like they go to school, right? And they're all over in their own little group, and the mamas are all over here, and the little baby calves are all cutting up and playing with each other and having fun. And I mean, you see that, the world's gotten way too technological, for me. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s when there were no cell phones and we couldn't be doing this. So, I grew up where, you did everything outside. You played outside, your parents sent you outside. Your mother didn't even want you in the house between, sun up and sun down. And so, yeah, that just the satisfaction, helping these animals, feeding them, taking care of them, and seeing them grow, and then, eventually being able to make a living off of it. Farmers and ranchers are special people. I got to tell you that. If it wasn't for us, there'd be a lot of hungry people in this country.
True. That's true. So, what is the biggest piece of advice you wish you knew before you got started?
Make sure you have enough money set aside for all the things that are going to happen that you didn't plan for. So, and I plan pretty well. I mean, my wife's a kind of a stickler, into, you know, investing in this or that or anything else. And I sat down with her and I had spreadsheets of this and spreadsheets of that and how much this was going to cost. And when you get down to it, it's never enough. So, you know, this year we haven't had really any rain to speak of since. So we're in a severe drought, which means, supplementing cattle with feed that normally you wouldn't have to because you'd have grass. And basically I have very little grass left because there's no water. And if you don't have any water, the grass doesn't grow. So that's something I didn't anticipate. I bought a tractor and then my tractor threw a rod and destroyed the engine. So now I don't have a tractor, so I have to go get another tractor. So that was one. Yeah, I mean, just there are lots of little things. You'd be surprised how much things add up when you start going to, you know, Ace Hardware and you need staples for the fence and you need PVC pipe for your water trough and you need a float valve for your automatic water for your cattle. And you need this and you need that and you need, you know, you really don't realize how much of that goes on. I mean, you know, you think, oh, well, you know, I can get by with this, this, and this. And yeah, whatever you figure out, double it and have that sitting aside waiting for whatever may happen. Now, it may not. And so then you've got that, you know, as a reserve in case something happens down the road. But ultimately, something will go wrong. It's just Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong.
Makes sense. So if we were to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to be for your business?
Oh, well, I would hope that within 1 year, I would like to say I'm selling at least 30 cows a year for beef, packaged beef. That'd be about 120 customers buying a quarter beef a piece. And then if I'm at that point, then I'm looking to grow. So if I've gotten to the point where I've got those customers and they enjoy my beef, so they're going to be return customers. So now any new customers, I'll be looking for more land and more cows and just kind of scale it up and you know, potentially partner with another farm where I can, you know, get their calves and feed them out and just basically grow this business. I mean, it's like I told my wife, I told my kids, I said, you know, we got, you know, roughly 6 million people that live around us. If we can get just a 0.0001%, you know, we're doing $1 million a year in business. 300 cows a year would be roughly $1 million worth of business. So, I mean, you have to start somewhere, but yeah, I'd like to say I would have sold my entire calf crop this year, you know, have another calf crop, you know, that would be ready and then try and expand.
So if somebody wanted to reach out to your business, can you share the best way, your website or Facebook page? How could somebody find you and reach out to you?
The best way to find me is go to my website, www.dftcattleco.com. And so that's D, David, F, Francis, T, Thompson, Cattle Co. So I kept it real simple. My name, my wife's name, and our last name. So DFT Cattle Co. at .com. And if you, we really don't put any reels there, but if you want to get in touch with us and see what daily life is like out at the farm, like I said, you can search DFT Cattle Company and Pastured Poultry on Facebook. And that should pull up me and my reels, and we've got a bunch of them out there. So I put a reel, probably two reels a week out there based on what's going on the farm. And so, yeah, that's probably the best way to get a hold of me. And you can email me. There's a contact form on the website, and you can order beef on the website. So
sounds good. Well, David, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you can chat again in 1 year. You can get to that number of $1 million a year as you continue to grow and scale your business.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.